Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message.
Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Crisfield Highway here in Marion Station. Our Sundays begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have classes for our adults and youth. Love to have you come and join us for that. Then following our Sunday school hour, we have worship that begins at 10 o'clock. So since it's only about 8:32, you have plenty of time to come and join us today as we look forward to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. During our worship service, we have a time of singing, a time of praying together. And then the either myself or someone else will be bringing a message from God's Word, and with the belief that the Lord himself will use it in a powerful way to transform individual lives. So, folks, you've got plenty of time to join us this morning. Come out and be refreshed in that of the things of the Lord. This evening, we would normally have our worship service, but tonight that is canceled. But we'll be picking that up next week, and that's at 6 o'clock. Monday night, we'll be having our youth group at 6:30. That's New Life Youth Group at 6:30 on Monday nights. Then on Tuesday evening, we'll be having our Bible study once again, and we've been doing a series on the marks of a healthy church, and we'd love to have you come and join us for that at 7 o'clock Tuesday evening here at the church. And then on Wednesday morning, we move everything over to the Taws Nursing Home, and we have a time of prayer and singing, a little devotion there with the residents. It's always a good time. Have a good group. The public is welcome to come, and that's either on the second or third floor of the Taws Nursing Home. Also, our men meet on Wednesdays at noontime at one of the local restaurants here in Crisfield. And then our ladies on Fridays at 12:30. They also meet at one of the local restaurants, and if you want any more information on those particular meetings or anything else we're engaged in here at Christ Fellowship, please feel free to contact me at the number or addresses that I give at the end of the program. With all that being said, I have a song here selected that I want to play, and just hoping that God would use it to minister to each of your hearts and souls.
We all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, and now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. Jail, the hammer, the nail. How shall the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. And now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she watched him die too.
And that was Ellen Ann Daisy singing for us. Then came the morning, and she was backed up there by some of her sisters in the Lord here at the church, giving her little background vocals as well. But certainly, friends, even though it may seem to be a dark time in our lives, that we know that the morning comes, and with the morning is the newness of day and the hope we have in Jesus Christ, that as Christ defeated sin and hell and death for us, that, friends, we can believe in him, that even in our darkest hour, that we will rise again in Christ. Right now, I've got a part of a message that I preached last week concerning that of Christ and the trial that he went through with Pilate, and how in that as he was beaten and finally handed over to the Jews to be crucified, and knowing that God himself alone has the power to save.
Today we have a mixed up mess that goes on in our churches all the time, because people themselves, they begin with, they are not saved people. They have never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and they may have all the principles. They may know the Ten Commandments, and they may be able to quote you the Beatitudes and all the rest of it within Scripture, but they've never come to a place where they are truly saved, have been empowered by the Spirit of God, and that the love of God has been poured out into their hearts through the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, that's the beginning of it. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. We need to be saved people, because I cannot love any of you the way God would have me to love you if I am not a saved person. I cannot love you unconditionally. And that's how God calls us all to love each other. He calls us to love each other unconditionally, not based upon what any of you can do for me or what I can do for any of you this morning. He calls us to love each other in such a way that is unconditional, just as you are. Just as you are. So with this, so keep this in mind, this train of thought that I got going. So if you and I are to be a church that is known to be a loving church, which every church should be known for that. That should be an attribute of the church, loving one another, being good to each other, kind to one another, those things. One of the attributes of the church. But also keep in this. Remember this. You and I, just as the Lord says, as Pilate notes to him, I have this power. Jesus says, you don't have any power unless it's been given to you from above. So I want us to recall, friends, when we speak about humility. Because that would go hand in hand today with that of which when we speak about being loving and kind to one another, and it's specifically loving, that humility must follow. That of us loving one another, that pride would not have a place in that. Then we talk about loving each other, and then there's this element of pride that raises up in certain people's lives. Like speak as we've talked about marriage a little bit this morning. And how that institution in and of itself is precious in the sight of God. It's something of which God ordained. It's something of which God himself set forth in his word. That's not something that the state or the government has ordained. They cannot dictate about who or who cannot get married. God himself has set forth. It was God that ordained that. A man and a woman. That's how it is to be. And in that God has instituted that. And as we talk about a couple that would come together, Loving one another. So there cannot be, is when I talk about my own relationship with my wife, this arrogance, pride, that I'm so, as the man of the house, that I'm so much better than you, and I lord that over her. That's not a demonstration of love. Do I understand the role of which I have as the man of the house, as the leader? Do I understand those things? Yes, I understand those things. But I have to also remember that I am in the position that I am in because it has been endued to me by God. Not because I was worthy of it. Not because I had any better abilities than anybody else. There's a lot of times that I have to pause. Believe it or not, gentlemen, I have to take note of what my wife says. I have to listen because she is many, many times the voice of reason in my life. So I could get arrogant. And there are times when we have our little, disagreements. But the issue is that, friends, we cannot be so puffed up. And as Jesus had spoken to his own disciples about that. Because remember, even just a few pages back when Jesus was meeting with his disciples, just several hours ago, his disciples were sitting around the Lord's table. They're having the supper, the Last Supper. And what were these guys doing? They were arguing there at the table about who was the greatest. Who was the greatest among us? And that's not to be known among us. We see by their example that that's not how we're to conduct ourselves. Our flesh at times, right? Our flesh at times, we, because of my experience, because of my background, because of all that I know, all that I've done, all this kind of stuff, the position, the role that I have, it wants to elevate me and puff me up. But then we can go back to what the apostle said in there in the 13th chapter about that of those kind of things, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. We can get puffed up. I can get puffed up. I've got to guard myself. All of us, we can. But remember this morning, and that's what I want the thought to be, the press upon you. Remember today where your power comes from. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ today. Do you have power in your life? You certainly do. As a born-again believer today, you have a power that the rest of the world, apart from Jesus Christ, does not know. You have a power today that resides within you that even though one of the main things of which we do understand, the power that resides in you this morning is a power to raise you from the dead. The scripture says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that will give life to your mortal bodies as well if that spirit dwells within you. So you do have power. You have a power that is residing in your being that whether you live or die, that you are the Lord's. And that is something of which God himself has stated to us and told us, and we are promised. And that is power, and that's something we can be thankful for. But that, again, does not mean that I am to walk in this world in such a way that I am holier than thou, that I'm better than anybody else that's in this world, the lost or the found. Do I recognize the power that has come to me from God? I do. And I'm thankful for that, to know that I can lie my head down on my bed tonight. And I hope you today can too. I hope that you can put your head down this evening and that you can rest in peace, knowing, even though you may have a multitude of things running through your head, buzzing about what's got to go on tomorrow and all that kind of stuff, but you can put your head down and you can rest in peace, that knowing it during your night's sleep that your heart may stop. But when you are absent from that body, that you'll be present with God. I hope that you've got that peace today, because that is a power which is bestowed upon you from that of Christ himself. That is something of which we have received from the Lord. Does that mean, again, as we have to pause, that we are just better than everybody else? No. Because Christ himself, he illustrates that for us in this whole aspect as we go in these last several chapters of John, when we talk about that of him dealing with his disciples, about who was the greatest, how he himself would wash his disciples' feet, how he would truly take on the form of a servant. He would suffer for that of others, and in turn, you and I too. Jesus said, you don't have any power of yourself. And we don't either. We can't do the things we do. We can't love people unconditionally, apart from the power of God. We can't have a hope unto eternal life apart from the power of God. I can't be at peace this evening when I put my head down on my bed apart from the power of God. I can't live a life that is of righteousness and holiness, a life that honors God, apart from the power of God in my life. I can't. And there's no one else in here that can either. No one. Pilate, as the Bible would go on, as we just start to bring this to a close, it says, from then on, Pilate sought to release him, because he notes that, as Jesus said, you have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Pilate, you don't have any power. You think you're wielding power, but the one who delivered me to you, that person, he has the greater sin, because that person should have known better. And who was it, the one that delivered Christ? And more specifically, just not the Jews, but the high priest. Should have known better. And I pause today because you and I are, we're supposed to be the spiritual people, right? We're supposed to be the individuals as a church. We're to be the spiritual people in this world. We're to be salt and light to this world. If anybody has the ability to guide the world into righteousness and holiness, a love for God, a faith in Jesus Christ, it is us, the church, those that are truly born again. So we pause here at this point, and he says, therefore, the one who delivered me to you, he has the greater sin. The high priest that year, unbeknownst to him, that he would say, he would tell them that it is expedient that one man should die before the people. And because of that, that role of which God had placed him in, that was a word, again, not really clear in his mind because he was thinking different. But just as the Lord would have it ordained, that it would be expedient that one man should die for all the people. One man. And that man who spoke those words, Caiaphas, the high priest, that he should have known better. He was the high priest of Israel. He was certainly a student of the law. He knew the prophecies of the Messiah, the prophecies of the Christ to come. He knew these things. And today, you and I, we know better. So when we walk in the ways of the Lord, when we walk in that of the straight and narrow path, that we want to be reminded again of these things of which we know to be true. that I have no power in and of myself. Only that power which has come from God Almighty. The places that He's put me, that He's granted me, those positions that He's allowed me to take a part of, what I know and am able to share with others, all that has come from God. Your position in this life, whether you're rich or poor today, it's all come from the Lord. And in doing so, that God, as we acknowledge who we are in Christ, that we certainly do not want to become haughty. We do not want to become prideful. Because why? We know better. As born-again believers, all of us here, we know better. We know how to live. And I would call of us, all of us today, as we start out this new season, and I'm hoping the season, weather-wise, is going to change. But we've hit Easter again. And I hope today that in this new season of which we have, that my hope would be that we would live the way we are supposed to live for Christ. That we would put aside, as we talked about last Sunday night in our evening service, those things that are spelled out in Galatians, that stuff of which we used to be in our lives, that it dies, the old person continues to die, and that we continue to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace. All those things of which God has given to us as gifts. That of those things that we should be bearing each and every day. Even though Pilate wanted to try to have Jesus released as we close, he sought to release him, but the Jews cried out saying, "If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." So you've got these Jews who adamantly despise Rome. They knew better. There was no other king except the Lord. That was their king. And it says, when Pilate therefore heard this saying, he brought Jesus out, sat him down in the judgment seat there at the pavement. Verse 14, now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king," and listen to what they said. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him. Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, the chief priest, chief priest. They answered and said, "We have no king but Caesar." What an awful statement for the religious people of the day, the people, the keepers of the truth of God, God's chosen people, and the chief priest among them to say, "We have no king but Caesar." And today there are many within our world that are claiming Christianity that still lay hold of that same idea. That we really don't have a king, but the government, the president, the prime minister, whoever it may be. They may profess that, but in their hearts it's, "We have no king but Caesar." This God of this world itself. And then the last ditch, as it says, make that statement, then he delivered them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. A thought to close with here. Think, friends, this morning, here we are as a people that are empowered by that of God in all that we do. All that we have has been given to us by God. Think what's happened when you have those that are self-professed Christians. Those that have not been truly saved or born again. But they have this voice within this world. And they claim to be that of the voice of reason, the voice of what true Christianity should be. And in that they have not surrendered their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That Christ is not king. They may, as Jesus said, there are those in that day that would say, "Lord, Lord." He said, "I never knew them." He says that there were those that would worship me with their mouth, but their hearts were far from me. And I would believe that there is a majority in this world today that profess to be born-again believers who are not truly born again. They are not saved people. They profess to be saved. They profess these things, but they have never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. They have this voice. And with that, that they would too would cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." Not by that they would say that so much, vocalizing that, but how they live their lives each and every day. How they live their lives time and time again. Think for a minute, just as it says. And then once they cried out, "We have no king but Caesar," it's Pilate said after that, that they led Jesus away and they crucified him. They took him right off the stage. What have you seen and what have I seen over the last several decades that have gone in Orthodox, good, solid Orthodox churches? For hundreds of years, there have been churches that have been solid in the gospel presentation time and time and time again. But we have watched, at least for these last 50 years, we've watched there become a majority of people who are unconverted, unregenerate. They still remain within the confines of a church building, and they have this voice, but they truly do not love the Lord. And what we see that goes on then, that instead of exalting the person of Christ, establishing for who he is within who we are as the gathering of believers, what they have done is they've escorted him right off the stage. They have taken him right off the stage. We've got churches now that you can't mention anything about the blood. Matter of fact, if you look at some of their hymnals or prayer books, they've eliminated any references to that. No longer about atonement, no longer about the sacrificial death of Christ, no longer about any of those things of which are the centerpiece of who we are, the death and resurrection of Christ. We have escorted Christ right out the door to slaughter him because we don't need him. We're trusting in our own reason, our own intellect. We're trusting in who we are as a people because as we would, the idea would continue to be presented that we can become our own super people. We're not who we can be, but we're getting there. But when we look across the course of human history, we're all remaining the same. People are still people. People are still in their sin. People are still doing things that people did all the way back in the days of Adam and Eve. We're still disobeying God. People haven't changed. And what has happened is that we see exactly that. There's a group that cries out, and should know better, these people that are supposedly that of the Christians, but they've escorted him out the door. They've taken the cross out. They've taken that of the references to his sacrifice and death. Anything that would run contrary to what the culture itself is doing, they've taken it out. And what they've done is they've neutered the power of the gospel. They've taken its power away. Because without the cross, without the shed blood of Christ, without his sacrificial death and resurrection, there is no power. There is no power. And that's why, friends, for us today, we know we have power. But it's not for us to be haughty or exalting of ourselves, but because of the power which we have, we are to be exalting of Jesus Christ.
And friends, that wraps us up this morning. If you would have any questions or comments, or you would like to have the whole sermon that has been preached here in its entirety, please feel free to call 410-623-2401. Or you can drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. Or go to our website, www.christfellowshipbiblechurch.com. Or you can look us up on Facebook. And we also have our podcast at christfellowshipbiblechurch.fireside.fm. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.